Well, at this moment, I'm going to take the time to introduce our missionaries this morning, Mr. Ty and Sina Silva. They have been missionaries to Taiwan for, I don't know how many years, but for many years. And we just were able to bring them on as missionaries we support finally. So this morning they're going to share about their ministry and how God is moving in Taiwan. And I believe Ms. Sina is going to share a message as well this morning. So if you guys could just give them a round of applause as they come up.
Well, it is good to be able to be here together with you. Thank you, everyone that is able to be here and those that are joining online. We appreciate Pastor Henry. Actually, while we're gone, we live in Taipei, Taiwan, and Pastor the International Church there. That's one of our responsibilities. And while we're gone, our Chi Alpha campus pastor is carrying some extra load. So we understand what you are experiencing here. But it is a big thank you coming from our heart when we say that we appreciate so much being able to be a part, to become a part of your missionary family. Let me put a word in here for one of your other missionaries who just happens to be our daughter, Jamie Silva. She is a missionary in Thailand, and we actually met your pastors and came here about 2 years ago when she had a service, and so we're very thankful for what God is doing there in Thailand, as well as what God's doing in Taiwan, and my name is Ty. I mean, you can really get redundant there, can't you? Well, we are having a table back here, and there are some very important things that we'd like to quickly draw your attention to. One is a very important, it's the smallest thing, but it's really the most important. It's a prayer card, and we invite you to please take one of these, put it in your Bible or on your refrigerator or on your bathroom mirror, wherever is convenient to cause you to be stimulated and to pray for us and others that are a part of your missionary family. That is a most strategic part of what missions is all about. We also have a magazine that incidentally features us and the work that we're doing in Taipei. And so if you get one and turn to page 7, you can actually see what our mission apartment looks like, filled with university and young adults as we were having a life group meeting. But we invite you to take one of those. There's also a small brochure called Never. And this is presenting to you, there's a big map on the inside of what the Asia Pacific region is. It covers about 60 million square miles of the world, of the globe. So it's a huge area. And it lets you know the countries and nations that are a part of that. But Never is related to the Never Reached. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a few minutes. But we are thankful for the opportunity. Like you, our hearts, our prayers reach out to Pastor Tim and Pastor Jan and what they are experiencing, the challenges, the difficulties of this week. It is just unprecedented in my thinking of what they are having to process and work through. But we join you in praying for them. Pastor called on Friday and let us know about the situation that they were facing, and that Pastor Henry would be helping to facilitate us this morning. So we pray for them, and we have our hearts really, really concerned for them as well. We are Ty and Sina Silva, and we have been serving in the Asia Pacific region all of our missionary career. Actually, we have been serving as missionaries since I had black hair, which was a few years ago. Actually, 42 years ago, we went as 26 and 27 year olds to the Asia Pacific region to begin a life and career of serving in missions. And in the Asia Pacific part of the world, there are some 465 Assemblies of God missionaries in that part of the world, covering 38 nations and territories. And the Assemblies of God, the mission and church that we're a part of, has about 6 million members in that part of the world. And if you just grab hold of that number. That is a very large number, a very exciting number, and certainly it is one number that we're thankful for. But I want you to put that 6 million in the context that there are another 835 million that have not yet had the opportunity to hear and respond to the message of Jesus. 95% of the people in the Asia Pacific region are spiritually lost. They are lost and under the influence of strongholds such as Buddhism and Taoism, Hinduism, Islam, animism, strongholds that have held them captive, not just their entire life, but since the beginning of time. They are the never reached. It's not just that they have rejected the message of Jesus. They, those living today, have never heard. But not just those living today. It is all of those since the time Jesus walked the earth have never heard. We're talking 2,000 years and still over 800 million in our part of the world are yet to have access to the gospel, to hear the good news of Christ, to be able to lift their hearts and voices in worship as we have done. We're not just talking about places where oppressive governments limit or they're hostile to the gospel. We're talking places that have religious freedoms, like Taiwan or Mongolia or, Japan, where it is a freedom to be able to share and talk with people, and still they do not know. And friends, what we're talking about is not that they just will never go to church. We're talking people who are living in situations that unless things change, they will never in their entire life ever even meet a Christian or have a Christian friend. We're talking about people who are never reached. And that is what is on our hearts to challenge you with today. That the never reached, it's been long enough. They have waited long enough. And we feel that God is calling us as a body of believers. We're excited to come in and see all the flags, as I'm sure other missionaries talk to you about. The Taiwan flag actually is over here, the fourth from the right side, over here on the wall. But in our congregation, we also, in our office, we have flags of the nations represented. Every Sunday in the International Church in Taipei, we have about 25 nations represented in our congregation. Actually, we went to church last night at 9:30 because Taiwan is 13 hours ahead of Florida. So this is our second Sunday morning service, and we're glad to be able to share it together with you. But as we think about the Great Commission today, we are wanting to think of reaching the lost around the world, all around the globe. We often quickly have our minds go to the last recorded words of Jesus in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. It's known as the Great Commission. And this is where Jesus said, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Sometimes it's been said that Jesus' last command needs to be our first priority. Today, we are wanting to marry a couple of verses that maybe you've not thought about in the terms of the Great Commission. We want to marry them together with the Great Commission because we believe that these two other verses will help us to make and see the Great Commission become a priority in our life. In order for the Great Commission to be fulfilled, The one verse that we're wanting to join together with the Great Commission is found in Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38. The first commission, or the first words that we're wanting to connect with the Great Commission is what is called the greatest commandment. That's what Jesus called it. He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Now, perhaps for you, bringing the Great Commandment and joining it together with the Great Commission is a new idea. But let me ask you a question that maybe is on your mind. Why would my wife and I do what we do for as long as we have done it? We continue to do what we're doing after more than 40 years of serving the Lord in missions. Why is it that we as missionaries also every year make a faith promise to give monthly funds to missions, and we personally as missionaries support other missionaries working in other parts of the world? Why is that? Well, the answer is found in the fact that the greatest commandment in our hearts is married together with the Great Commission. You see, to love God above everything else puts all of our life in a Great Commission priority focus. You see, as a missionary, I'm not just in love with missions. As a missionary, I'm in love with Jesus. Another scripture that we want to bring into this picture right now is Psalm 37, verse 4. It says in those verses, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I would venture to say that at one time or another, all of us have been tempted or done the idea of being nice to an aunt or a grandparent or another person, really because you want them to do something nice back to you. Huh? Being nice to somebody else because you think they may give something or be nice back to you. I think we've probably all been tempted at one point or another to do that. And sometimes when you hear that verse, Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. It's almost like spiritual manipulation. You know, if I do good things to God, God will do good things back to me. But I want to declare to you that that verse is much richer than anything like that idea. Because the God that we serve, He is a God who is a giver by nature. And what He is saying, what we see, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart, is the idea that as we seek Him, as we have our hearts, like the greatest commandment, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, what God will give us, it's not that He's a Santa Claus giving everything that we ask for. No, He gives us something greater than that. He will plant within our hearts His desires. He will allow us to have an understanding of what His desires are. As we look and delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us the desires. He'll put them, He'll plant them in our heart. And the challenge and the question that comes to the forefront right now is, what does God desire? And the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, gives us insight into what the Father's heart desires. He says there that He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord, as we seek Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, He will give us the desires. He'll plant within us the desires of our heart, which will be His desires. And that is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The fact that we're presenting to you today is that the never reached will become the reached when the Great Commission is fully fulfilled. And that will happen as the passion that is in the heart, the love that is in the heart of the Father, comes and takes residence in us, so that everything we do becomes motivated or passes through that grid of the Great Commission. It is impossible to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength without also loving what He loves. And His love is for those who have not heard, those who have not yet responded. If our passion for Him, it is that passion in our hearts for Him that will naturally produce in us a passion to see others come to know Him. When we are fully consumed, my friend, with loving God with all of our heart, it will affect our giving. We will be generous in our giving. It will affect our prayers. We will be fervent in our prayers. It will affect our going. We will willingly go, eagerly go, for the sake of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, the fulfillment of the Great Commission hinges on our commitment to this fact. Jesus, whom we love, is worthy of the worship of the nations, even to the laying down of our lives.
We have been privileged by the Lord to love Him, to know Him, to receive His love, and to lay down our lives as He has called us into Asia Pacific. Pastor Ty and I serve as the area directors for 5 countries: Mongolia, Taiwan, North and South Korea, as well as Japan. But we also serve, as he mentioned, as the co-pastors of the International Christian Assembly in Taipei, Taiwan. And I want to share with you a couple stories of some people who we've seen God change their lives through the International Church in Taipei, where we pastor. I want to tell you first about Ivy. Ivy is Taiwanese. She grew up in a typical Taiwanese home, 3 generations living under one roof, with an altar, a family altar, where food and other offerings are made daily, along with chants and prayers, an ancestor altar, making offerings for the ancestors, in hopes of easing the pain and easing their passage through what they believe to be 18 levels of hell that each person that dies must pass through. And those living are responsible to provide for them throughout this time, never knowing where they are in their passage journey that they believe in. As a minor, Ivy, living in a home with these different generations, was under obligation by her elders to practice this kind of ancestor worship in her home and other traditional religious practices. But as she entered her teens, Ivy had an interest to learn English. In our international church, we actually have 8 locations of other languages, but the one that we are at each Sunday is English. So Ivy began to attend Agape ICA because she had a desire to learn English. But as she grew in her understanding of who God is, and as she grew in an understanding of His Word, Ivy, it became very obvious to her unbelieving family, it was obvious to us, but even her unbelieving family, that Ivy wanted to follow Jesus. And of course, her family was not happy about this. They were cool with her hanging out with foreigners and learning to speak English, but not when they began to realize that she was falling in love with Jesus. one of the greatest fears of the older family members was if she would follow Jesus, what will happen to me in the afterlife? Well, who will make the offerings to ease my pain and torment in the afterlife? So when Ivy told her family that she wanted to be baptized in water, the grandparents became very upset. Because you see, baptism in these cultures, in the Chinese culture, in Buddhism, and other religions like this, Hinduism, where there's many gods, Taoism, when someone gets baptized in water, it's not just saying, I'm going to add another god to my god shelf, which they tend to do. They just mix all the gods. They might even see a crucifix on a shelf next to a Buddha. And they ask them why, and they'll just say, well, I just have them all up there hoping that somebody will do something for me. But when someone says, I'm going to be baptized in water, it's not adding a god to your god shelf. No, that's a very decisive step, which means that they are renouncing all other gods to follow Jesus. So when they knew she was going to get baptized, it was a problem. It was completely unacceptable. But you see, Ivy's love for God, she grabbed hold of that greatest commandment. She grabbed hold of how much God loved her, and she loved him in return. And so she was determined. She wanted to be baptized in water. So finally, her grandparents, hoping that she would some point outgrow this nonsense, said, okay, well, when you become 18, you'll be of age. It's up to you at that point. So if you decide at that point and you still want to follow through with baptism, you can do it. Well, 4 years ago in April, Ivy turned 17, and her birthday happened to be on a Sunday. And she said to me after church so excitedly, she said, Pastor Sina, a year from today, I'll be 18, and I can be baptized in water. And she said, is there something I can do to help me this next year really grow in my relationship with God? I want to know more of what I believe and why I believe what I believe. Well, of course, that's music to a pastor's ears when someone says that. They're hungry for discipleship, to know God more. So immediately I began meeting with Ivy and three other teenagers every Sunday afternoon to take them deeper into knowing, understanding their walk with God. The next year, as Ivy's birthday was approaching, one of our youth leaders came to us and said, did you know that Ivy's telling her family and friends that the Sunday after her 18th birthday, there's going to be a water baptism at church? I said, no, we didn't know that. And they also said, did you know that also five of her family members and four of her friends who do not attend church, who do not have a Christian background, have agreed to come and witness her water baptism? So you can be sure we scheduled a water baptism for the Sunday after Ivy turned 18. And during that time, she gave a clear public witness of her decision to love God with all of her heart and follow Jesus with everything that was in her. As a result, two of her friends started attending every week. Oh, is there a picture up there? Can you go ahead? There's a picture of Ivy. I don't know. Have you got it? I can't see it, so okay, got it? All right, there's Ivy. As a result of Ivy's testimony and invitation, as a result of the change in her heart and her life and her love for Jesus, two of her friends started regularly attending her church and got involved in our Next Gen ministry. That fall, Ivy entered university, and the Sunday before, she specifically asked, would you pray that God will use me as a light on my campus as I enter university? Well, God answered that prayer real quick in the registration line that week. In the registration line, Ivy met Sonia. Now, Sonia had given her life to Jesus as a very little girl in a Christian school that she had attended for a short while. But because her parents were in traditional religions of Taiwan, she had never been allowed to go to church, and she had never attended church. But when Ivy began talking to her and she realized Ivy was a follower of Jesus, then she told her story. Ivy said, well, then come to church with me. And now Sonia was old enough, had already turned 18, and it was legal age, and she could make that choice. So Sonia began attending our church. She's now an active member and growing so fast in the Lord, and a student leader with Chi Alpha at her university campus. A while back, Ivy told us, she said, I've been living my life as a sheep. God has shown me I've been living my life as a sheep, but he wants me to step up and be a shepherd. So Ivy became a youth leader in our Next Gen ministry. More recently, she handed Pastor Ty an envelope with a generous missions offering from her part-time job before a special missions project that we had in our church. And the amount that Ivy gave was way beyond what you might expect from her income. But here's the deal. Ivy is in love with Jesus. This is what Pastor Ty was talking about. When we love God with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, then giving, going, praying is the natural outflow of that. And that's what's happened. Because Ivy has learned that if God can get it through you, he will give it to you to invest in his kingdom. Christine is another example of a woman in our church who has come to treasure God above everything else, even when it meant putting her job on the line. And what do I mean by that? Well, Chinese Lunar New Year, which is coming up in February, is by far the largest holiday celebration in Taiwan. But different from our New Year's celebration here in the United States, it has a lot of religious and superstitious overtones. Chinese New Year is full of such activities. In fact, businesses in Taiwan take this very seriously during Chinese New Year. The sidewalks of our city are lined with tables of food being offered to the gods, offered to appease the gods, to give them good luck and not to harm them in the coming year. They're accompanied with barrels, burning barrels. I think you have a picture of that as well, right? Yeah, we need to. Yeah, the burning barrels of joss paper money, like Monopoly money that they burn and they throw thousands, tens of thousands of this paper money, sending it on into the spirit world. These are highly educated people, people who are business people and successful and forward-thinking, yet they're caught in this superstitious bondage. All of that is done in hopes of bringing good fortune to their business. In fact, businesses do not reopen. Every single business is to consult a medium for their business to find out the exact hour they should return to work. And employees do not go to work until they get the message on their phone, okay, now is the time of day that we can go to work on the first day after the holiday. So a few months into Christine's first year on the job, as she had been hired to be a department manager, the head of a department, her secretary came and gave her a paper to sign with a budget, authorizing the budget for the food and the joss money to be offered to the gods from their department. But you see, Christine loves Jesus. So instead of giving in to the cultural obligation, Christine kindly and courageously explained to her secretary that as a follower of Jesus, she could not sign an authorization for funds from her department to go for such a thing. But the secretary was really pressed her harder and expressed concern. But what will happen to us if we don't make those offerings? But Christine said, no, instead we will do our best this year, and I will trust my God to honor our efforts. And do you know what happened that year? That year, the profits in Christine's department increased by 40%. And since then, for the past 2 years, her department has led their company in profits by a large margin. And this has opened up so many opportunities for Christine to share her faith with her coworkers. In fact, they know who they can turn to when they have a problem, when they have a prayer need. And she's even started a weekly prayer gathering with a few other Christians that also work in the company. Oh, the overflow that happens when, like Ivy and like Christine, we determine that we are going to take the greatest commandment seriously, and we're going to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. You know, God not only deserves that place in our lives, He requires it of everyone who says they are His child. It's hugely important, people, that we realize that the call to the greatest commandment and the Great Commission is not just something for your pastors, not just something for your worship minister, not just something for the missionaries, but the call to the greatest commandment and the Great Commission is a call to every one of us. Your role in the Great Commission is just as important as ours. Whether it's by going, or whether it's by giving, or whether it's by praying. And my role is no important than your role. As Pastor Ty said earlier, when we are consumed with loving God with all of our heart, when we are passionate as believers that Jesus is worthy of the worship of the nations, then our giving will be generous, even sacrificial like Ivy's. Might say Christine is also a sacrificial giver. We will go willingly and eagerly, and we will pray fervently. These three components of missions, giving, going, praying, are interdependent in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. You know, throughout the epistles, Paul was continually, as he went on his missionary journeys, asking for prayer covering. He knew he shouldn't go it alone, and we know it too. It's why Pastor Ty held up the prayer card earlier. Instead, Paul counted on the prayer missionaries. What are prayer missionaries? Prayer missionaries who would serve as frontline intercessors for those that were sent. In Ephesians chapter 6, he asked the church to pray that he would have the right words in sharing the gospel, and that he would proclaim it without fear. In Colossians chapter 4, he asked prayer for open doors to share the gospel among the never reached. And he asked for prayer that those sending him would pray that his message would be clear to those who had never heard it before. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he urged the believers to pray for his safety and to pray with urgency that the gospel would spread quickly through his witness. For the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. Paul knew that it was not enough to go it alone. He recognized the need for that covering of prayer missionaries like yourselves. Is your love for Jesus calling you today to become a prayer missionary? Maybe you already are one. I trust that this message encourages you of your strategic role in the harvest, in the global harvest. Do you realize that as you answer that call to be a prayer missionary, you can shape the destiny of nations on your knees? Not only of this nation, but of nations around the world as the Holy Spirit directs your prayers. Through your prayers, you can see God open doors on the other side of the world that no man can shut. But there are two more aspects to this call, and they're identified in Romans chapter 10. I'm sure you know these verses in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Paul says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And here's the other part. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And there it is. We call it the divine triangle of missions. God, the Lord of the harvest, the senders, and the sent ones. You see, we can't fulfill our role as those who have been called to go without people like you to send us. And you cannot fulfill your call to be a sender without people like us or like our daughter or the other missionaries you support who say, I'm willing to go. We are totally in this thing together. And everyone's role is necessary and strategic. As those who love God so much that you pray and you give as we go, Ivy's story that I shared with you today becomes your story. You're part of the miracle of Ivy's life. As we are in this together, interdependent, Christine's story and what God is doing in her company, it's your testimony, it's your story as much as it is ours. We firmly believe that the reward in heaven will be as great for those who pray and those who give as it will be for those who go. Actually, you are our heroes because we get the joy of seeing the lives change. But you, out of your love for Jesus, say, even though I do not see those people, I don't get to see their lives, but I love Jesus, so I am all in into his mission. And I will pray and I will give. It's when all of us do whatever God is asking of us because we love him with all of our heart that the never reached will be the reached. They have waited long enough. It comes down to this. Every person in this room is called. We're all called. We are all called to love God without reservation, without holding back. And then we're all called to step up to our God-ordained assignment in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. So what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you today through this word? What is his call on your life with regard to the never reached, with regard to the Great Commission? Will you step up and become a prayer missionary? Oh, how we need that. What is he asking you to invest by faith in your finances? Because we can't go without that either. Or perhaps he's asking you to go, whether a long-term commitment that maybe he's been stirring in your heart and today he's stirring it up again. If he asks you to go, will you say yes? When we love him, the only answer is yes, without reservation. That's why that first part is so important. For the Great Commission to be fulfilled, we have to be a people that is in love with Jesus, that we will do whatever he asks. For sure, at least one of those areas that I've mentioned, the praying, the giving, or the going, applies to every person in this room, even the youngest among us. I was 5 in a mission service when God called me to be a missionary. He knew the plans of for our children when they were still in our womb, mothers. And so early on, he can speak that, and that we will teach our children to say yes to the Lord, whatever age. But what is the Holy Spirit challenging you to do today? Perhaps to renew your commitment to the greatest commandment, that out of that, the overflow of your love for Jesus, you'll say yes to going, to giving, or to being a prayer missionary. I want you to close your eyes here in just a moment. I want to pray and I want to give an invitation. Father, we thank you for your love that's been poured out upon our hearts. Out of all the people in the face of the earth, we thank you that we have been reached. We are among the found. Lord, we know your heart is on the harvest, towards the harvest, towards the never reached, that for generations have never been reached. Thank you for what you're doing in the earth today. Thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit. Thank you for Ivy's and Christine's and so many others. Thank you for what you're doing in Mongolia, even in North Korea, in South Korea, in Japan, in Taiwan, the areas where we minister, but all over the world, Lord. But you have committed yourself to do it through your church. You cannot and will not do it apart from your church. And so I pray that this church, this congregation, will be a family deeply in love with Jesus. So that whatever you ask of us, we recognize that Jesus, you are worthy of the worship of the nations to the laying down of our lives, because this life is just a breath. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But how sad for those who do not willingly bow their knee now because they don't know. So I pray that every person in this room and everyone listening online will step up to your call on their lives in a fresh way. Lord, speak to hearts right now. I want to invite you that if God is speaking to your heart and you're saying, yeah, I want to renew my commitment to love Jesus with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, forgetting distractions, laying aside every weight that distracts and encumbers us. There's so much going on that distracts us right now. But Jesus is what matters. Our love and our commitment to Him, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, is what matters. And if you say, I want to recommit myself to the greatest commandment so that God might fulfill the Great Commission through my life and my role, I will invite you to stand. Or if you're saying, I'm a prayer missionary and I take a stand for that, God has called me to intercede for missions and for the lost around the world, will you stand? And if you say, I want to be willing to give of my resources and the faithfulness of God to reach the lost, will you stand? Anyone? Yes. And maybe God is calling you to go. You may not even know where, but there's a stirring in your heart and you feel he's stirring something. Just to say, God, I'm willing. Or maybe to say, Lord, I'm willing for you to make me willing. Maybe you feel he's stirring you and you just don't feel willing. Will you just stand and say, Lord, I'm willing for you to make me willing because I love you above everything else. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are here. We welcomed you in this place earlier in our worship and in pre-service prayer. And you are the one. I'm not the one. You are the one that speaks to hearts and changes lives. It's your love that calls us forward and out and to step out in faith to take our place in the harvest. And so, Lord, you see each one who is standing. And right now, God, I just pray that you will seal in their hearts what you have spoken to them through your word today by your Holy Spirit. May they be more aware of your presence this week than ever before. Baptize them fresh in how much you love them and how you are with them. And Lord, may their hearts then just open like a flower before you this week and bask in your love. And as they do, Lord, draw them into your heart so what you love is what they love, that they will delight in you with all their heart. So that you might plant your desires in their heart so all they want is what you want. Because God, when your church just wants what you want, the lost will be found. So I thank you, Lord, for this congregation. Thank you for their commitment to missions that they've had year after year. Thank you, Lord, for the prayer covering, the financial covering that we receive as a result of this body of believers. Lord, I just pray most of all they'll stay in love with Jesus. They'll stay in love with you so that everything you want to do in this community will be accomplished through this church. Everything you want to do through them, as they're in love with you, Lord, it's going to happen. Thank you again for your being with Pastor Tim and Pastor Jan. pouring out your love in their hearts. Thank you for them extending this opportunity to us. Lord, we just pray for an abundance of your supernatural grace and peace upon that family. Thank you, Lord, that you are there with them just as you are here with us. We bless your name, Lord. I bless your people today to fulfill the purposes of God as they walk in your love and in your presence. In Jesus' name.